Welcome to Radio Tyneside, hospital and community radio on 93.6 FM, DAB, online and on your bedside entertainment system.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning, I'm getting ready for a brand new morning, packing my bags for a heavenly journey, I can't wait to be there, no I can't wait to be there.
Our opening song is one of my all-time favourite hymns. It's called The Man Who Calmed the Sea. Stuart Townend wrote this along with co-writer Gary Sadler, and the vocalist is Ruth Norman. I'll be playing more of Stuart's music later in today's programme.
See the stricken boat as it is tossed upon the sea. Hear the fearful cries that wake the man from Galilee. He stands before the raging, speaks peace and harmony. Winds and waves obey, he is the man who calmed the sea.
Desperate father's anguish plea. Heal my dying child, he begs the man from Galilee. With words that banish sorrow, don't fear, but just believe. Don't live again, commands the man who calmed the sea. And as she stands before them, what joy from agony. He's the master and the maker, he's the man who calmed the sea. Shrouds the hill of Calvary. High upon the cross, there hangs the man from Galilee. The earth, it quakes with sorrow, the sky grows dark with grief. All creation mourns to lose the
Today's reading is also connected with the Sea of Galilee, not the calming of its waters, but something just as spectacular. Jesus walks upon the water. Let's listen to that reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning to read at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So who is this man, Jesus? Everything he does and says is truly amazing. Wherever he goes, people are miraculously healed. An incredible teaching is recorded. In him, we read of compassion so rarely demonstrated or expressed. We hear of his great authority and wisdom. We note his fearless confrontation with the authorities of the day, and now we find he is walking on water. However impossible this may seem to us, it was real to those disciples in the boat watching him, for they're soon falling down in worship, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God," to him. Christians believe that Jesus was and is far more than just a mere man. St. John tells us he was the Word of God, the Incarnate One, the author of creation. In other words, he's saying that God came down to dwell among us in human form, as it says here in our next hymn, also with Stuart Townend and Keith Getty this time, "You're the Word of God Incarnate."
Sing together. You're the Word of God the Father, from before the world began. Every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. All creation holds together by the power of your voice. Let the skies declare your glory. Let the
In our reading today, we hear how Peter also walks on water. He began well, acting on impulse, mesmerized by the sight of Jesus coming towards them, walking on water, having asked Jesus to command him to come to him. After Jesus bids him come, he demonstrates great courage and faith by clambering out of the boat. And for a few steps, he is successful. He ventures out while all the others just sit tight, amazed. There's a book by John Ortberg called If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. And you know, taking that first step of faith is the hardest part. It's a decision only we can make as individuals. And after that, we must carry on walking and trusting. It may well be that we see some opportunity for outreach somewhere and we sense God's hand in it. Will we respond? When my husband and I visited the Holy Land some years ago, the part we most looked forward to was the Sea of Galilee, for of all the places there we thought this was surely the most authentic. I'll never forget when I first laid eyes on it. The sun was glittering on its blue waters, and I could see the Golan Heights in the distance. After our boat left the jetty, we had a short demonstration by one of the fishermen on how to cast out a circular fishing net. Then our guide invited me to read a short Bible reading for everyone about Jesus stilling the storm. But after this, I found myself deep in conversation on the boat with a lovely lady, a geologist, who told me straight away that she was an atheist, and what an interesting chat we had. However, Bob had words with me when we got off the boat. "Sheila," he said, "we paid all this money to see the Holy Land, especially the Sea of Galilee, and all you've done the whole journey is chat." He was not amused, and I clearly understand why. But I don't regret that chat. I don't. Because at the end of the week, when a small group of us visited the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem, and bread and wine was provided for us in one of the bowers, this lady was one of the 12 who came. She didn't receive the Eucharist, but she did ask for a blessing from me, which was a miracle in itself. The miracle of a person's first step of faith. In this next song, we're called out to walk on water. It's a song by Hillsong called Oceans.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep. My faith will stand, and I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours.
To today's Bible reading, though, and Peter, actually walking on water, loses his focus when he hears the howling gale and sees the fierce waves around him. He takes his eyes off Jesus and begins to sink. The world we live in can sometimes be just like that tumult, and we can sometimes get distracted from our God-given purpose in life. But we're called, like Peter, to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and his teaching. His presence helps us survive every ordeal that comes our way. Whenever we experience sleeplessness, a sense of hopelessness and despair, if we're depressed or irritable or resentful, if we ever feel insecure, it may be well that we've taken our eyes off Jesus and our spiritual life needs renewing. We could ask ourselves, now, where was it that I lost my peace? And having done this and identified it, we can go back there in prayer and put things right by repenting. Also, by Peter's reaction, we hear how to be rescued. He simply cries out in his distress, "Lord, save me." His short prayer might just be the saving of someone listening in today who is also in distress or in pain. If you're that person, pray these words with me this morning. Lord, save me too. That's when Jesus reached out and caught hold of him. Here's Stuart Townend again singing Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy.
Kyrie eleison, have mercy. Christe eleison, have mercy. Kyrie eleison, have mercy. Christe eleison, have mercy. As we come before you with the needs of our world, we confess our failures and our sin. For our words are many, yet our deeds have been few. Fan the fire of compassion once again.
The second verse of that song spoke of the need for justice to empower the weak so that their oppression will be no more. It makes me think of the VJ service I'll be attending today at the War Memorial in Marlbury Park, Sunderland. VJ, which stands for Victory Over Japan, marks the day that Japan surrendered on the 15th of August 1945, which in effect ended the Second World War completely. Prisoners of war in the Far East suffered greatly, long after the war in Europe had ended in May of that year. This was not only because of the cruelty of their Japanese oppressors, but also because disease was rife and starvation a reality. The campaign that was fought against the Japanese was the longest campaign fought by the British and Imperial forces during World War II. So today may we remember all those who served and suffered in the Far East way back then. When we feel overcome by the suffering in our world and consumed by fear when things go wrong, when we feel ourselves sinking under waves of anxiety, the key to recovery lies in admitting where we're at and being still, keeping focused and trusting. There's a passage in Isaiah 30:15 which says, "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." Peter sunk and was raised up by Jesus, but he knew the glory of walking on water, and he knew the relief of being caught up when he failed. We've been called into action as Christians, not passivity. We're called to mission rather than maintenance. There's a saying, a boat in harbour is safe, but that's not what boats are made for. In the same sense, we're not meant to sit safely in boats all of our lives, but to venture out in God's strength, might I add, not our own. Here's another one of my favourite songs. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest."
I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast." I came to Jesus as I was, so weary worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say,
so what is it we're asked to do out there in our troubled world as we journey through it? And is it a journey we're called to make alone, like Peter? No. Jesus called all his followers to be united as servants in this world and do his will, carrying out his wishes for the good of others, working together in the kingdom. And if God does call us to a task, he supplies the support mechanism too. Commitment to serving God in the world can mean hours of work and effort. Are we called to it? It may mean no recognition, wealth, or influence. Can we let all that go? Our vision or dreams may turn to disappointment. We could sink. Can we go the distance? People may disapprove or even block what we try to do. Can we endure? Can we go on when we see no immediate results? Can we be patient? And when rejection hits us, are we willing to let go of all bitterness and the need to justify ourselves? I'd like to finish today's programme with another favourite song of mine called The Summons by John Bell. I've played this one many times before. We're bound to experience fear in stepping out of a boat onto new waters, in attempting to do new and beautiful things for God. But when that initial step is really what God has intended for us, then it can be an exhilarating journey. And it begins with the words, "Will you come and follow me?" That's all we have time for today. This is Sheila Hamill saying goodbye, and my technician, Andrew.
Bye, everyone.
Have a lovely week. Bye for now.
Will you come and follow me if I but call?